Welcome to CT Church. This message was recorded during our Sunday service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. For there will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. Then I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. And then I heard the crowd cry out, oh, crucify him. To leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? And why were we standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, there's Jesus. And I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow. Running down the cross and falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back, and the crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, you carry his cross. At first, I tried to resist him, but then his hand reached for his sword. And so I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross I heard him pray, Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. He prayed and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms and we turned to face the cross. And then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you, Brent. It's a glorious day. Amen. This morning, I'm beginning a brand new series. It's entitled Unstuck, Moving Beyond Mediocrity. How many of you ever been in a situation in life where you just felt stuck? Most of us have been there at one point. I shared a story last month, I think, about a time when I was a youth pastor that I felt stuck. I had taken our youth group into Mexico on a missions trip, and we had an afternoon that was available, and some of the locals said, man, we're going to take you to this incredible place called the Lagoon. It's just crystal blue water with high cliffs surrounding this lagoon, and you can jump off the cliffs into the lagoon. It's just fantastic. So we thought, well, this sounds great. And so we started hiking through the jungle, basically. And I mean, we hiked and we hiked and we hiked. I didn't think we were ever going to get there. Finally, we break out into this opening, and I mean, it's like this incredible scenic picture, like out of a postcard or a movie of this beautiful blue water and the cliffs all around it. I've got a picture that kind of, that's not the place, but it kind of looked like that, except the cliffs were much taller. They were about 40 to 50 feet high, which is twice as high as it is from the ceiling here, from the ceiling to the floor. I'm okay. And so we get there, and they show us there's this way you kind of hike around the back of this cliff. You go up this hill, and then when you come out, man, there you're just standing on this cliff, and there's that blue lagoon below it, and they think we're going to jump. And I'm thinking, there's no way any of us are jumping off this cliff. And so I was trying to figure out, now how am I going to tell the kids that, no, we're not going to do this, you know. And as I'm thinking that, this girl in our youth group comes walking right beside me, and shoo, off she goes into the water. And now I'm stuck. I have to do it. A girl did it. There's no turning back now. And so I shared that story. I jumped in, and it was not pretty. I went in at kind of an angle, and it felt like someone took a 2x12 and just hit me on the backside when I hit that water. I had my hands like this, and when I hit, boom, this came up, hit me in the chin, and I'm about 15 feet underwater, and I'm feeling to see if my teeth are there. It was terrible. Sometimes you get stuck in life, don't you? Today we're going to talk about getting stuck in our journey of faith But there's a lot of different facets of life where we can get stuck. We can get stuck in our families. We can get stuck in our finances. We can get stuck in our careers, stuck in friendships, stuck in our futures. Sometimes we get stuck in our chairs. And no, that's not me. There's a lot of things we get stuck in life, right? Okay, you can take that off. I've had about all of that we can take. Okay. Go ahead. There you go. Click the button. A lot of times we get stuck in our walk with the Lord. There can be a number of things that cause us to feel stuck, and we're going to discuss several of these topics over the next few weeks. Now, it could be today that you're here because you just feel stuck in life somehow. And maybe this is the first time you've been to church in a long time, and maybe you got up this morning and said, you know what, God, I am stuck. I'm going to church. And if that describes you at all, I have some incredible news. And the good news is this about getting stuck in life is that Jesus loves to help us get unstuck. Man, he is in the getting unstuck business. And in fact, getting unstuck is really the essence of the Easter story, isn't it? That's what Easter is all about, getting unstuck. And the Easter story tells us that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to each and every one of us to help us when we get stuck in life. Now, here's what they did a couple thousand years ago. They savagely killed Jesus on a Roman cross, and then they stuck him in this rock tomb. And then, just to be doubly safe, they rolled this big stone in front of it so that no one could get in and he couldn't get out, right? That's what was the purpose. The purpose of that big stone was twofold. Keeping people out and keeping Jesus in. And I can understand how this rock, they estimate these rocks that they use to seal tombs weighed about 2 tons. About the size of a mid-sized car. So that's not going to easily get rolled away, right? So I can understand how that would keep people out. But what has always kind of amused me, I guess, is that the Romans, thinking that if Jesus should come back to life supernaturally, he'll never be able to get out because of our big rock. You know, maybe he can come back to life, pull that trick, but no way is he getting past our rock. And so they stuck him in that tomb, but 3 days later, he got unstuck. He flat out got unstuck, right? That's what Easter's about. We know that on that first Easter, there were 3 women that went to the tomb that morning. And first one was Mary Magdalene, one was a woman named Salome, and the third was Mary, the mother of Jesus and James. And these 3 women are on their way, walking towards the tomb, we read in the Bible, and they were kind of talking about who was going to help them get this stone rolled out of the way. And when they get there, they see that what? It's already rolled back. And they go into the tomb. Jesus is gone, just his clothes lying there. Now, we're not 100% sure what the next words were that were spoken between these women. But there's this particular Bible scholar who claims that he found some very ancient scrolls that said the next words were from Mary, the mother of Jesus, that after having seen that Jesus was gone, only his clothes left behind, said the following words. Well, some things I guess never change. He takes off, leaves his clothes laying here for me to pick up. We don't know if that's completely accurate, but it's a theory. We don't know for sure. But here's one thing we do know for sure. Ever since that day, because of what Jesus did for us, God gives all of us the power to be able to move from stuck to unstuck. Every one of us have that power available to us. So the sermon title this morning is Pressing On and Pushing Forward. So as we go back a couple thousand years to that Friday at the cross, and we think about how the disciples must have felt, I'm sure every one of them felt pretty stuck, even in danger for their lives. And especially the Apostle Peter was feeling very stuck. I mean, the evening before, he had just denied three times, even after being told by Jesus he would do it, and he said, "No way will I ever do that." Immediately, what does he do? He denies three times that he even knows who Jesus is. He even cussed and swore to kind of, you know, drive the point home, make him look kind of tough. "No way do I know who that is." Three times he did that. And at this point, Peter is in hiding. He's scared for his life because he knows that people can associate him with Jesus. And they may be, if they hung Jesus on a cross, they might be coming for him next. So Peter gets up on that Sunday morning, what we would call the first Easter Sunday. He didn't know it. He gets up and he's feeling very, very stuck. So he decides he's just going to lay low. And what he's going to do, he's going to go back to his old way of life. He's going to go back to fishing for a living. Maybe that'll help him get unstuck. He was probably asking himself, "How could this even happen to me? It's like God has just forsaken me. I don't even feel like there's any hope left now." And maybe you have felt like that before. Maybe you've even asked yourself some of these same questions before. And what we all need from time to time in our lives is a good dose of Romans 6:4. It says this, "And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." New lives. Regardless of all the junk in our past, He gives us the power and the privilege and the opportunity to live new lives. Isn't that great? Doesn't make any difference what we've done as long as we'll turn to Him. So this morning I want to kind of extract three lessons from the life of the Apostle Peter in this particular story that we can apply in our own lives. And as we go through this thing, let me encourage you. Who wants to be encouraged this morning? Here's my word of encouragement. If you're not really stuck right now, just wait a while and you'll get stuck. How many of you are encouraged this morning? You know why you're going to get stuck at some point? Because life is absolutely packed full of sticky situations, isn't it? I mean situations of every type. It's full of sticky situations. So there's just a good old Easter Sunday morning word of encouragement. If you're not stuck right now, hey, hang on, you will be at some point. And so we're going to go through three lessons, life lessons, for getting ourselves unstuck in our journey of faith. Here's the first step we have to take, is admit that you're stuck. Now that sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? But you would be surprised how often people absolutely refuse to admit or believe that they're even stuck. "How you doing?" "Oh man, everything's great." When everything is not great. But how many times have, raise your hand if you've ever had someone ask you, "How you doing?" You say, "Oh fine, how are you?" And your life couldn't be hardly any worse at the moment. Sometimes we just don't want to admit it, do we? It's like us men. We refuse to stop and ask for directions. Because we're not lost. We're just taking the scenic route, right? We will get there. I don't need someone to tell me how to get there. I'm going to figure this out. When we're willing to admit to ourselves and to God that we're stuck, it demonstrates humility before God. And let me tell you, God is always drawn to humility. God loves to work in someone's life who is willing to humble themselves before Him. Sometimes we get ourselves in a hole, and man, there's an old saying that says, if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you should do is stop digging. That's good advice, don't you think? But yet sometimes we're in a hole and we just keep digging, thinking, somehow I'll get myself out of this, even though we just keep digging the hole deeper. It makes no sense, but that's our human nature, right? Most people want to feel very self-sufficient, and it's usually hard to admit that we're stuck. But God loves for us to humble ourselves and just admit to Him that we're stuck and that we need His help to get unstuck. He's just waiting for us to ask. And the Apostle Peter, man, I mean, he is feeling stuck, right? His Lord and his Master, who he thought was absolutely invincible. All of these people thought, he's coming to reign in power, and he's going to overthrow the Roman government. They probably had all sorts of grand thoughts, but the last thought they ever dreamt was that, no, the Romans are going to crucify him on a cross right in front of our eyes. And I mean, he witnessed this horrible crucifixion, and he's having a really tough time. He feels so stuck that he did what most red-blooded men would do. They go fishing. Fishing will get me unstuck. That's probably what he was thinking. You know, I've got to get myself unstuck. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to what came natural to me. I'll go back to what's familiar to me. And so fishing is what he did for a living. He's a professional fisherman. So he goes back to fishing. So here we are, it's Sunday morning. Peter and several of the disciples, they're out there fishing. We read about it in John 21, verse 1 through 3. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out, got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Peter feels so stuck, he decides, I think I'll just go fishing. And apparently the other guys felt stuck too, because they said, well, we'll go too. We don't have anything better to do. And so they fish all night and catch what? Absolutely nothing. Let me tell you. They catch nothing. They'd been throwing out those nets all night long and reeling and pulling them in, throwing them out, pulling them in every direction, and they don't catch so much as a minnow, right? They get nothing. They were so stuck, but they just didn't want to admit it. And a lot of times, people will just wear themselves out trying to get themselves unstuck instead of just humbly going before God and admitting they need some help. Does that sound familiar? So James was one of the guys in the boat that night, and apparently at some point he figured out the best thing to do in times like that, because these are words that James wrote, James 4:10. He said, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. When Jesus lifts us up, it gets us unstuck, right? That's how we get unstuck, to put ourselves in a position where Jesus will lift us up. So humble yourself. Here's what that means. Humbling ourselves before God just simply means that we're going, can't do it by our God, that we have to depend on Him. That we can't do it by ourselves, we're just making matters worse. And when we do that, when we come before Him with a heart of humility and say, God, I can't do this. I need your help. If we'll do that, the Bible says we put ourselves in a position where He can reach down and lift us up and get us unstuck. Amen? That's pretty good news, don't you think? But let me ask this question. Have you ever stopped? How many of you have ever stopped to wonder why God even allows us to get stuck in the first place? I've wondered that. You know, I mean, a lot of times maybe you've had that attitude. Well, God, I appreciate it that, you know, you can help me get unstuck. But how about this? Why'd you let me get stuck in the first place? Anyone ever had a thought like that? How many of you are not raising your hand because you just don't want to admit it in front of people? You've had that. Okay, there it goes. And now a few more hands. Okay. I think we've probably all had those thoughts. Yeah, we're thankful that God can help us, but hey, God, here's a thought. Why did I have to get stuck in the first place? Why can't every day be an Easter day, a day of complete unstuckness? I think that's a word. I have to think this, that God allows us to go through some dark days of crucifixion in our lives so that we will always remember that we have to totally depend on Him. We're not going to make it by ourselves. We have to involve Him in this process. Those dark days that we face in our life, they force us, or hopefully force us, to focus on God and His plan for our life. We let go of our plan, and we grab a hold of His plan, and we let Him begin to guide and direct us. Because, you know, Easter, biggest day on the church calendar, glorious, glorious day of Easter. But the truth is, without the crucifixion on Friday, there would be no glorious resurrection on Sunday, right? A lot of times we have to go through the difficult times to experience the glorious, victorious times. If everything was always glorious and victorious, then we would actually begin to think that nothing is all that glorious, because we'd have nothing to contrast it against, right? If everything always went good in your life, you wouldn't even know what good was. But God allows us to go through some tough times in life. He allows us to get stuck once in a while so that we will, out of humility, have to turn to Him and say, God, I need You to help me get unstuck. Sometimes we get ourselves stuck through bad choices. We've all been there, right? Sometimes we get stuck, and man, I mean, it just caught us by surprise, but the fact remains, we're still stuck. Whichever the case may be, we turn to God at that time, hopefully, and say, God, man, I'm stuck, and I need You. And when we humble ourselves like that, He reaches down, and what does He do? He lifts us up, and we get unstuck. You know, it's like when you fall into quicksand, the worst thing you can do is what? Start squirming around, right? Start trying to save yourself. The harder you try to save yourself, the worse things get, right? Well, there's a sermon in there somewhere. You know, life is like quicksand. You know, quit squirming around and trying to take care of everything yourself, because you're just making matters worse. Look towards the Lord, call upon His name, and let Him lift us up out of that mess, right? That's what we need to do. So, number one, admit that when we get stuck, let's just admit we're stuck. And let's turn to the Lord. And that brings us to truth number two in this process, actually. Truth number two is, once we admit we're stuck, now we have to be open and we have to be listening for God's voice. The key words, open and listen, right? Sometimes when we get stuck, we do all the talking. We get very busy. We fall on our knees and we just start talking. There's no time for listening because we're so busy talking. But we need to open ourselves up. Yes, we need to talk to the Lord, but we need to leave some time in there to listen for Him to speak to us. A lot of people, when they get stuck, they close themselves off, but it's very important we keep ourselves open to hear God's voice. And He doesn't usually scream at us, right? His Word says He speaks to us in what? A still, soft voice, still, small voice. Well, if you're making a lot of racket, you're never going to hear it. If you're placing yourself in a position where there's a lot of racket, you're not going to hear it. And the big problem is this. If you're not listening carefully for God's voice, you will always end up hearing the wrong voice. Hello? That's important. I'm going to say it again, just so it sinks in a little bit. If you're not carefully listening for God's voice, you'll always end up hearing the wrong voice. Because we live in a world that is, I mean, the world is ready, willing, and just waiting to give you some lousy advice. You can get it anywhere you go. Someone's ready and willing to give you some lousy advice. And unfortunately, a lot of times it's due to our sinful human nature, we're willing to listen to bad advice. And that's when we really get ourselves stuck, right? We listen to bad advice sometimes. Let's go back to our story in John 21, picking up at verse 4. It says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them. He said, friends, haven't you any fish? He answered to already. Very, very good lawyer. He never will ask a question that he doesn't know the answer to already. So basically, he said, hey guys, any fish? No. No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the other side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. How many of you have heard that story before? If you've grown up in church, you've heard that story a whole bunch of times. These guys had been out there fishing, professional fishermen, mind you, out there fishing all night, trying to get themselves unstuck, casting those nets out, pulling them in, throwing them out, pulling them in. I mean, over and over. And they had basically exhausted all of their own ideas and exhausted all of their strength when they finally decide to listen to the voice of Jesus. Does that sound familiar? We try everything in the world we can to try before we're willing and ready to take some good advice sometimes. That's a whole nother sermon. So after trying for what seemed like forever, all night long, they do what the Lord tells them to do, and bam! All of a sudden they've got so many fish, they can't even pull them into the boat. But here's what I think is another interesting part of this story, is that you have to realize how easy it would have been for them to just completely ignore that voice from the shore. You know, remember, they didn't even know it was Jesus at this point. But you know, if they were like a lot of us, they might have thought, who does this guy think he is? We are professional fishermen. He's going to tell us how to fish. We don't need some weekend passerby taking a stroll along the beach telling me how to fish. Anybody think you might have thought something like that? Hey guys, you got any fish? No. Throw it on the other side of the boat. Like we haven't tried that all night. You know, you'd be thinking, you knucklehead, we've been out here all night. We've thrown that net in every direction. There's nothing out here. That's what I think would come natural to me, not to you. You're a lot better than me. I'm sure all of you would have said, that is a good idea. I think I should try that. And I've just got faith there's going to be so many fish, I can't pull them into the boat. I'm sure that's all I see, but I'm different. I would have thought, that, you know, who do you think you are? Telling me how to fish. It's amazing sometimes just how frustrated and exhausted we have to get before we're willing to take some good advice. Who's been there in life? Yet again, another sermon. So you need to keep coming. They're just going to keep coming. So if you feel stuck today and you've been trying everything that you know to get yourself unstuck, there's a very good possibility you've been hearing the wrong voices. Maybe you've been listening to the wrong voice. God might be saying something like this to you today. Look, I've brought you here today because you need to start trusting me and you need to start listening to my voice. Maybe he's saying something like that to you today. Or maybe he's saying something like, you know, at one time, man, boy, you were really on the right path. But you have veered so far off onto the wrong track that you are headed for a real crash and burn. You need to get on the right track, back on the right track today. And we can. Everyone can get on the right track when? Today, if you want. Maybe God has brought you here today to tell you that you need to commit to something. You need to commit maybe for just being here for the rest of this series over the next few weeks and just see if he can't get you unstuck. Commit to that. Just tell God, look, I'm willing to commit and come for listen, and I'll be listening for your voice, Lord, for the next few weeks and see if you can't help me get unstuck. I'm telling you, he can. And he will. That's the good news. You've come on Easter Sunday, man. That's a great first step, right? Now just commit. And that's step three in getting yourself unstuck. Commit to God's plan. Maybe you've been trying your plan not working out so well. It's because your plan is not what God had planned for you. It never works out when we try to come up with our own plan. God created us and knew everything about us before we were ever born and had a very unique plan for our life. And if you're not fulfilling that plan, you're just going to be miserable and always getting yourself stuck. So, to get yourself unstuck, first you have to admit it, right? Say, you have to say, God, you know what? I am stuck. And that's good. That's the essential first step. But if that's all you do, you're still going to be stuck, right? Just telling God, hey, I'm stuck, it's got to be more than that. So then you're going to start listening for his voice, for direction. And you'll say, yeah, I'm wanting to hear your voice, God. That's step two, and that's important. But if all you've done is admit it and just started to hear his voice, or maybe you've heard his voice and you haven't done anything, you're still stuck, aren't you? Ultimately, you have got to take some action yourself. You have to allow God to move you to action. And Peter decides to make a commitment as we pick up back here at verse 7. It says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. You have to love Peter's exuberance here. I mean, he's all in. He's out fishing half naked in this boat, and when he sees that Jesus has returned for him, he wraps that thing, tunic around him, dives into the water, and he swims. He wants to get as close to Jesus as fast as he can. Amen? No hesitation at all. That's how God wants us to react when we have strayed. There's a couple of great lessons right here in this verse for us to follow. Two great lessons. First, when you're stuck, you need to get back close to God as quickly as possible. And coming to church is always a good step in the right direction. Amen? And secondly, the next good lesson, it will be best for all of us concerned if you put your clothes on before you get here. That's just going to be good. Who can say amen? That's right. That's good to know. Two good lessons there. I have to think that, you know, the others, they stayed there in the boat, kept rowing toward shore, but that wasn't good enough for the Apostle Peter. He saw an opportunity to get back close to the Lord, and man, he dove in. He had to dive in so he could get there as soon as he could. Now, as I said earlier, I have to think that Peter probably felt more stuck than any of the others because he had all that weight and guilt and felt so ashamed from having even cursed the name of Jesus, denying he even knew him. That'll do a number on you. Not once, but three times. So when he saw that Jesus had returned to him, he couldn't wait to get things right. And that is the awesome power of the resurrection. It moves us from helpless to hopeful. Aren't you thankful for that? He moves us from feeling helpless to being completely hopeful. From being totally separated from Jesus to being so close you could sit down and eat breakfast with him. It all boils down to this. Getting unstuck is simply moving forward in life by giving God complete control. You let go of trying to control your life and you turn it over to God. And he begins to guide and direct you down the paths that are best for you. And it really, really helps you keep from getting unstuck. Does it mean you'll never get stuck in life? No. As a matter of fact, God's word promises us that from time to time we'll get stuck, but it's always for our own good. There's always lessons to be learned. There's always growth that will take place. But we always know with Him on our side, we will get unstuck at some point. That's the good news, right? We can always be hopeful. We don't have to feel helpless. Even when we're stuck, we can be hopeful knowing that, you know, this isn't going to last forever, because I know my Jesus has said, if I turn to Him, He's going to lift me up and I'm going to be unstuck just like He was unstuck. That's good news. So that little bit of gospel according to Doug is that, yes, God allows us to get stuck in life sometimes. And a lot of times He allows us to get stuck to show us that the particular area of life that we're stuck in is an area that we haven't completely given over to Him, which is why we keep getting stuck in it. You know, God wants us to give Him every part of our life. And when we don't, we always end up getting stuck in those parts that we were unwilling to give over to Him. I mean, you can set your watch by it. It happens. So we have to give God all of our lives. We can't pick and choose what we're going to give to God and what we're going to kind of hold back for ourselves, because that is exactly where you're always going to be stuck. I want to finish this morning by reading a verse. This verse is going to be a key verse that will thread itself through this whole series. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. First two verses of Romans 12 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're going to be talking about that verse some. I want to close this morning with one last Easter song. This song was written over 20 years ago, and it was written from the perspective of the Apostle Peter, the one guy who probably had the toughest, he was stuck the worst through this entire thing. And I've always loved the message of this song. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hope of sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary. I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night and none of us know where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden and John ran up ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When it came to choices I denied, I knew his name. And if he were alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet as I looked into his eyes. The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. If you know these words, sing them out with me this morning. Praise this morning. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful that he's alive this morning? Stand with me this morning. I'd like our prayer partners to come to the front. Today, this morning, there couldn't be a better day to get unstuck than on Easter Sunday. It'll just be ingrained in your mind to begin to get unstuck on a glorious Sunday morning. You know, whatever your challenge in life is right now, you know, it could be one of many, many things, but you just know you're stuck and you have had a rough time getting yourself unstuck. Jesus is here to do it for you. And he's here to just reach down and lift you up. And the next thing you'll know is you'll realize, hey, I'm not stuck. That's how it works with Jesus. Man, he is just a God of getting us unstuck if we'll just turn to him. Amen?
You have been listening to CT Church in San Antonio, Texas. This recording was presented in the context of our Sunday service. For more information, please visit us at ctagsa.com, connect with us on Facebook, or call us at 210-657-3578.